respond to President Biden being diagnosed with cancer? Are you going to call your predecessor?
I think it's very sad, actually. I'm surprised that it wasn't, you know, the public wasn't notified a long time ago, because to get to stage nine, that's a long time. When you take tests, medical, as a male, that test is very standard. I don't know if it's given to everybody, but it's given just about. And it takes a long time to get to that situation. Now, I think, you know, to get to a stage nine, I think that if you take a look, it's the same doctor that said that Joe was cognitively fine. There was nothing wrong with him.
Live from the Paragon 7 Studios.
The Rubicon. In 3, 2, 1.
Paragon 7 Studios.
On the Rubicon with James Lewis. We are the preeminent healthcare media platform serving the urban culture on HR Voices Sirius XM 141. It is always a pleasure to be with you, broadcasting coast to coast and globally, about the profound impact healthcare has on individuals and communities. This is going to be a short segment. I got John Gorman, who's a friend of the show, healthcare policy leader for four decades, worked for the Clinton administration. He's going to talk about the big, beautiful bill that was passed by President Trump last week and its impact on you, the listener. How's this going to impact your Medicare, your Medicaid benefits, cost structuring? But I want to talk briefly, but before I bring John in, I was observing my grandmother last week. And if you've listened to this show or you've listened to the Lance J Radio Network on HR Voices Sirius XM 141, my life was profoundly impacted back in 2021 when both my grandfather and my mother passed away pretty much within the same couple of weeks of one another. These were arguably the two closest people to me in the world at that time. Individuals that poured into me, individuals that believed in me, individuals that supported me, individuals that loved me unconditionally. And my grandfather was elderly. He was 96 years old. My mother was taking care of him in the nursing home. My grandfather was at a nursing home. And my mother was just really taking care of him. If you've been a caretaker, you never want to see your parent towards the end of their life, even if they live to be 96. And she was trying to make his last days as comfortable as possible. There was a COVID outbreak in the nursing home and my mother got COVID. And although my mother was vaccinated, we didn't think that she had serious healthcare issues. My mother developed complications, ended up on a ventilator, and passed away. So my family watched this horror movie of my grandfather, who was the patriarch and the strong male leader, the alpha male in our family, watching him just going down naturally. And then while we're mourning him, my mother is on a ventilator. I literally, when my grandfather, I was at my grandfather's funeral and stepped out to go visit my mother, who was on a ventilator. So you're mourning someone you love, you're going to the hospital to talk to the nurses, and this was during the height of COVID. This is probably the most infectious time of COVID. All of the nursing wards were overrun with COVID patients. And it was a difficult time. After the funerals, I kind of lived with my grandmother for 6 months. I moved in. It was basically driving back and forth from Nashville, staying with my grandmother 4 or 5 days a week. And I like to say that I inherited her, but I realized over time that she inherited me. And we got through the mourning together. And so I've watched my grandmother age gracefully and continue to live. It's been almost 4 years since my grandfather and mother passed away, but she lost one of her really close friends a week ago, her roommate from college. And her friend was 100 years old, lived in the Bronx. I've heard them go back and forth at each other over the phone maybe as soon as a year and a half ago. Her friend called and they were talking back and forth and talking smack to each other and talking about society. It was very hilarious to listen to two people in their late 90s have a riveting conversation. And my grandmother got the news that her friend had passed away at the age of 100, and it's a blessing to live to be 100 years on this planet. But my grandmother was a little bit down, and I went down to Huntsville to sit with her and just enjoy some time with her and encourage her. And as I was listening to my grandmother talk about the loss of her friend and reminiscing about their relationship and things they did together back in college and the lives that they've lived. And listening to her talk about her own mortality, basically saying that this is pretty much my last friend. Everyone who I was really close to has passed away. My husband's passed away. My daughter, your mother, has passed away. So many people who I've loved over the years are no longer with us. It really gave me a different perspective. I'm thinking like, man, if you live to be 98 and you're still walking, mostly without a cane and have a good quality of life, there's so much to be grateful for. And my grandmother is very grateful, very spiritual, a Christian church crown wearing lady. But the grief that our elderly parents and grandparents experience, I don't think that most of us can really fathom or understand that. When you do get to that age, when you're almost 100 years old, you've lost so many people and the grief piles up. And you're looking at your own mortality. It's like on the movie Life. You feel like you're about to go to the upper room. And it just made me think. I'm glad that I've had the opportunity. I would say that the biggest blessing and honor of my life has been to be one of my grandmother's caretakers at this stage and to be here by her side. But I was just talking to her and observing her and really trying to get her not to be depressed, not to be too down, and just trying to go there and support and rally around her. But it's something to think about. Seniors have experienced a lot, and sometimes we forget that. John Gorman coming up next on the Rubicon, Healthcare for the Culture.
Live from the Paragon 7 Studios, the Rubicon in 3, 2, 1.
Paragon 7 Studios.
Risk when buying drugs like heroin, cocaine, crack, and pills off the street. But did you know that any of those drugs could also contain fentanyl? Fentanyl is an opioid 50 times stronger than heroin, and it contributed to over 80% of overdose deaths in Maryland. Anyone who uses drugs, even occasionally, is at risk of an overdose. Learn to reverse an overdose with an easy-to-use medication called Naloxone at stopoverdose.maryland.gov or call or text 988.
Hip-hop has been a reflection of culture and society.
That includes stories of struggle
and pain,
social injustice,
racial inequality,
the marginalization of communities.
Today,
we confront a healthcare system
that has been rigged against all of us.
Hospitals force patients to sign contracts for services
without ever showing us actual prices.
Stifling competition,
overcharging without accountability.
And if we can't pay these same contracts,
allow them to take everything we own.
Creating so much fear that millions and millions of Americans refuse to enter our hospital.
Putting our health in our lives at stake.
This is an American humanitarian crisis.
We love our nurses.
And we need our doctors.
But hospitals and insurers
rigging a system to make profits off of people that's in struggle is unforgivable.
We demand prices
and transparency in healthcare. Power to the patients.